Have you guys ever done a time capsule? I have two examples.
Okay. Well,
three, actually. Here's a time capsule.
Nice.
How fun are these? My daughters did these when they were beehives.
Wow.
Little tiny girls. It says, do not open until you're 21 years old. I have no idea what's in here. They've been in my closet and I secretly want to like.
Yeah. Maybe there's lunch money in there. Maybe there's a gold piece.
There might be money. There might be. And so all sorts of secrets. I love this idea of a time capsule because one of the really cool things about the Old Testament tabernacle is there was sort of a time capsule of sorts. There was a very sacred piece of, I wouldn't even call it furniture, but there was a beautiful thing in the tabernacle that contained items that were an expression of God's love and mercy with his people. To serve as a reminder, everywhere it went, these items would stay. Here is one artist's rendition of what he thinks it would look like. Do you have any ideas what we're talking about today? Well, in today's episode, we're going to talk about this beautiful thing that was in the tabernacle and what it contained as sort of a time capsule. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uzalak Hall. This is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry, and we want you to grab your scriptures and something to mark them with. We are discussing the Come Follow Me lesson for Exodus chapters 19 through 20. This is part one of two.
So we're talking about the Ark of the Covenant.
Okay.
This Ark was associated with amazing powers, including parting a river, toppling walls, defeating idols, bringing plagues, and bestowing blessings, and it's Jesus Christ focused. Now, very, very interesting. The lid in Hebrew has the word atonement in it.
Okay.
The lid itself, and we'll discuss that in a minute.
Yeah.
Now, it was constructed at God's command. That's important.
Yeah.
This isn't something that Moses and Aaron made up. Oh, let's do this. Mm-hmm. This will be really amazing. No, it came from God. It's made of acacia wood. It is overlaid with gold. That's important. Now, it was 2.5 cubits long. And just to remind our audience, a cubit is from the bottom of the elbow to the top, maybe about 18 inches. But every person is built differently.
Like maybe this long.
Let's see. So 2.5 of these, one. Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
And then 1.5 cubits high and 1.5 cubits broad. The mercy seat and the two cherubs were pure gold. It represents the Lord's throne and the meeting place between God and his prophet. And very interestingly, John the Revelator in his revelation saw the Ark of the Covenant in the temple of heaven. I'm not going to read this whole thing, but I want our viewers to be aware of it. The descriptions here in Exodus 25 make one cherub on one end, another cherub on the other end. It says the cherubs will stretch forth their wings on high, covering the mercy seat, probably like this, and their faces will look toward each other.
Yeah.
Now, Raphael Patai, P-A-T-A-I, he was our guest at BYU. He came as a speaker in the early 1990s.
Hmm.
What a good, good man. He has since passed away. He brought his wife, but he wrote a very interesting book, and he shows some arguments that one of the cherubs was a male and one is a female.
Oh, wow.
That's not in the scriptures.
Right.
It's not supported by the scriptures, but I quite like that anyway.
Well, that's an interesting imagery then.
And a lot of people who reconstruct the Ark of the Covenant, they'll make one a male and one a female. So that's just kind of interesting.
Very interesting.
So this one, thanks to Daniel Smith, when we were setting up and taking down a tabernacle of Moses, a life-size replica, and someone took the Ark of the Covenant. Now, this would never happen in antiquity. They'd never just put it out. My friend Michael Lyon, okay. L-Y-O-N, he made an Ark replica. This is a replica.
Mm-hmm.
They're all replicas that you'll see. He made an Ark of the Covenant replica for the TV show called Touched by an Angel.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if you ever heard of that one.
You bet I have. God
and
loves you.
Before he delivered it to the TV producer, it was in his living room, this replica. It wasn't this one. It was another one.
Mm-hmm.
In his living room in Provo. And his nephew came to visit the household, came into the living room and saw the Ark of the Covenant there. Looked at his uncle Mike, looked back, then he's and the nephew is like 8 or 9 years old, and he said, "Uncle Mike, you're in big trouble. There are a lot of people looking for this."
That's
and,
funny.
And the nephew had thought Mike had the real thing in his, so that was funny.
Everyone knows the real thing got burnt up in Indiana Jones and the
Temple of Doom. Yeah, that's right.
Right? Many people frame of reference from that movie. So
that's right.
This is gonna be fun to dive into what this really is.
So Michael Lyon, the same guy, drew these images. The Ark of the Covenant was housed in the Holy of Holies of the Tabernacle and the Holy of Holies of Solomon's Temple. So it's put in the most sacred spot.
Yes. So let's look at some stories where the Ark is prevalent in the Old Testament, because while it was in the Holy of Holies, it also played a role in some storylines. So Don, tell us a little about this, and we're going to go through some really neat stories.
Yes. So when the children of Israel were headed into the Promised Land, when the priests carried the Ark into the Jordan River, the water stopped and Israel crossed on dry ground. And we attribute this to not only the priesthood and the priests, but they're holding the Ark. So the power of the Ark. That's one story.
The next one is Jericho's walls were toppled. So in my first year teaching Old Testament, I made the kids have horns and we made a pretend thing they had to carry. It was like a desk. And I made them walk around the seminary building 7 times.
What?
Shouting and having this experience.
What a great experience.
Just so they could know that the walls toppled because of this. So the priests carried the Ark and they marched around Jericho for 7 days. Then with shouts of trumpet blast, the walls fell down flat.
Yeah. Okay, there's another one. The Philistines, who were enemies of ancient Israel, they stole the Ark during a battle. You don't ever steal something that belongs to God that is that famous. They put the Ark in one of their temples. During the night, their idol fell upon the face before the Ark of the Lord. It's as if the idol had fallen and was worshiping the Ark.
Yeah.
And then the Philistines kept it for a while and they suffered plagues until they returned the Ark. When they returned it, they put it on a cart and put a heifer who had never pulled a cart, and a heifer is a female that's never birthed a calf. Mm-hmm. And then after 7 months of all of this and the plagues and so on, the Philistines sent the Ark to Beit Shemesh. A lot of us have seen Indiana Jones, and it shows some people looking in the Ark when they shouldn't, and they're being destroyed. I won't be graphic like the movie was, but notice this. The Lord struck some of the men of Beit Shemesh because they looked upon the Ark. He struck 70 men of them, and the people mourned because the Lord had struck the people with a great blow.
Now, this one always makes me sad, so yes. I'm going to need your input after this, because whenever you teach this and you read this story, you're like, that is so unfair.
Yeah.
So there's this sweet man by the name of, I'm saying sweet, by the name of Uzzah, and he is struck down for steadying the Ark. So the Ark started to become a little unbalanced. He saw that it might fall on the ground, and he knew how sacred it was, so he reached forth to grab it and steady the Ark, and he was killed on spot, because only people from the tribe of Levi were allowed to handle. And even they weren't allowed to necessarily touch it. You can see on each side, they have those bars that they could carry. And so he was not from the tribe of Levi. He touched the Ark and was killed on the spot. Make that better for me.
So this is a hard one.
It is.
But the Lord has strict rules that we must abide. So here's my opinion.
Okay.
Uzzah was trying to do what was right, what a lot of us would do to steady the Ark. What he struck down, though, God is a just God. He's fair and he's loving. And I don't think this is an eternal punishment, death. I think once he went to the spirit world, all would be fine. This is just my thoughts on it.
I like that. I like the life lesson for us today, because one of the things I've learned throughout being in seminaries and institutes and is teaching is it's not our job to study the Ark either.
Right.
If there are things that are uncomfortable for you, or if you don't like the way your bishop is doing things and you feel like it's teetering, it's just not your job to study the Ark.
I like
God
that.
God has a very clear plan, and God's power is greater than man's. And I think that for me was the lesson with this idea of, because I am guilty of this. I'm guilty of trying to study the Ark sometimes when I think my way is better than other people's, or I can figure out how to do it much quicker or faster. And so be cautious of studying the Ark. I thank Uzzah just for teaching us that life lesson for today.
I do too.
Thanks, Uzzah.
I like the way you put that a lot.
Wow, thanks.
Now, after that event, the Ark went to a family, and it blessed the family by having the Ark there. And the Ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom for 3 months. And the Lord blessed him and his household. And someone told King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed this household and all that pertain to him because of the Ark of God." Having the Ark there blessed the family. In my studies, Sister Hall, I found there is a way to approach the Ark. And we can liken this to different parts of our life. But I'd like to read this. It's from Leviticus 16, which is the Day of Atonement chapter, one of the chapters. And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto Aaron your brother, that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place. So here are the rules. One, with a young bullock, so a sacrifice. Two, a ram, another sacrifice. Three, he shall put on the holy linen coat. He dressed in all white on the Day of Atonement. Four, he shall have the linen breeches upon his flesh. That's the underclothing. Five, he'll be girded with the linen girdle. The linen cap or headpiece shall be on his head. These are holy garments. Therefore, number seven, he'll wash his flesh in water and put himself on. This is a pattern.
All of this preparation leading up to approaching this beautiful place. So one of the things we mentioned in our last episode was that there were three things that were in the ark, three very important things. We talked about how manna, which again blows my mind, because if manna was kept the next day over, it molded and was gross, but the Lord's like, nope, put manna in the ark. And then you also have the Ten Commandments, and then you have Aaron's bud, which we'll talk about in a couple of weeks. So those are three things, three items, but they're symbols of Christ. Now that is what's so cool.
That is super cool. Now, notice what happened in this passage, Exodus 40. And he brought the ark into the tabernacle and set up the veil and covered the ark of the testimony as the Lord commanded Moses. But notice what happened as a consequence. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. So I want to mention this.
Yes.
I've had discussion of this word with other scholars of Hebrew. The lid of the ark in Hebrew is called kaporet. And here's the Hebrew word.
Okay.
It's the same root as kafar or kiper.
Yeah.
Same root to atone. Here's references for people.
Mm-hmm.
So how do English translators translate this? Mercy seat, atonement cover, ark cover, atonement seat, kaporet. One translation doesn't even translate it. They just write it in English. But they also have kaporet, atonement cover.
Wow.
So I like the idea of calling it something atonement, throne of atonement or atonement cover. So everyone knows and they can connect it.
Yep.
Mercy seat actually comes from a passage in the New Testament. That's where we get that.
Okay.
Mercy seat in the Old Testament. And we're going to read that passage momentarily. But I like the idea of atonement something so everyone knows this is connected to the atonement.
Yeah. So let's read what it has to say in Hebrews. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So is that talking about the Ark of the Covenant?
Yes.
And coming to him?
Yep.
I was surprised to learn that when they practiced this Day of Atonement, which we'll talk about a little bit later, it was only once a year that they went into the Holy of Holies.
That's right.
And so I'm thankful that we've moved past that and that we can come to him more than once a year.
With the fullness of the gospel, sisters and brothers have the same access to the most holy places in the temple.
Wow. In Exodus chapter 40, verse 5, here's what it says. And thou shalt set the altar of gold for the incense before the ark of the testimony and put the hanging of the door of the tabernacle. I love the term ark of testimony for ark of the covenant. And here's why. So in the ark of the covenant, there were specific items that were supposed to be in there as a reminder to the Israelites of God's goodness and grace and miracles in their life. And then it made me think of, what is my ark of testimony? If I were to have my own, what would I put in it that's a reminder of God's goodness and grace and love in my life? This is a challenge for all of you, to create your own ark of testimony this week, to think about things, maybe write stories and put it in an envelope or a time capsule, if you will, anything you want like that, just as a reminder for your future. I know for me, in my ark of testimony or my little time capsule, I would for sure put this passport. This is my very first passport I got. Dawn, you ready to see this picture of me? Do I look a little different?
Yeah.
This is the 1990s. Short hair was real popular back then. I would put this in there because I was in Italy one time and I left this on a train. and the train left to go to the next town.
Oh my.
Yes, and I got off, I didn't even know it was missing. I got off the train, my friend and I, this is right after college, we went backpacking through Europe, and we were walking through the streets, and we got, it had been like an hour or so, and we went to a restaurant, and I reached in to get my wallet, and this was with it, to pay for the meal, and my wallet was gone, and my passport was gone, and I had a full-on heart attack. Like, I was freaking out, and I just started to cry, and I was with one of my old mission companions, Kristen Canland, and we raced back to the train station. But before we got there, we passed a little alleyway and we both stopped and I said, we need to pray. And so we huddled in this little alley and we prayed that Heavenly Father would somehow perform a miracle in my life that I would get this passport back so I could go home. Because this is in the 90s, like you can't send anybody anything digitally. And so we said a little prayer in the alleyway and then we ran back to the train station and we tried to find anybody that could understand English. And all of a sudden I heard someone yelling, Tamara, Tamara. And I was like, is that my name or a tomato? I'm not sure what he's saying. But then I look all the way down at the end of this cement block, and here's a man waving this in the air.
Wow.
And I walked up to him and he goes, are you?
Story.
And then he looked at the picture and he's like, oh yeah, that's you. And he gave me back my passport and my wallet. I mean, that is unheard of, to have everything totally restored back to me. And so I would put this in my ark. And the one thing I love that, Don, you taught us, and I wrote it down, is that it's an atonement cover. And so I want you to kind of think about your arc of testimony. Is the atonement covering? Is the atonement part of your testimony? Does it cover what you believe in? And so throughout this week, as you think about what's in your arc of testimony, as you think about what has created you and your relationship with Jesus Christ, stories you could share, items that you could put in it, the hope is that it's an atonement cover as well. And that part of your story will be that Jesus Christ lives, that you have experienced atonement in your life. And that is the most beautiful part about the Ark of the Covenant. And so we're thankful we were able to talk to you about this. And this has been such a fun discussion of this. So this is part one of two. And in the next episode, we're going to get into some more detail about the things that Don shared with us that you had to wear in preparation to coming to the tabernacle. Have a great week and have fun building your Ark of Testimony. Shalom and goodbye.